listening to the AHDB podcast, farming news and stories from across the UK.
Hello everyone and welcome to this episode of the AHDB Cereals and Oilseeds podcast. I'm Theresa Meadows, Knowledge Exchange Manager for East Anglia, and we're delighted that you're joining us for this session all around cabbage stem flea beetle. This month of July, AHDB Cereals and Oilseeds are focusing on cabbage stem flea beetle just before you start drilling your crop for this year. A key pest for us in the oilseed sector over the last few years since the loss of neonicotinoid seed treatment dressings. It's something that we've all had to manage in our own ways, and people have been really innovative in the ways that you're managing the pest, both in the crop and running up to drilling the crop and managing the pest and the larvae through the year. Various effectiveness with different weather, different climate, different seasons, different varieties, different cultural controls. There's a lot of research happening at the moment across the different organisations, across the industry, funded by AHDB and others in order to help you with this management. I'm really delighted that Claire Oro is joining us today, who's in the middle of her PhD at Harper Adams University. Claire's funded by AHDB and others, which we'll talk about in a minute, to do some research looking at the future of cabbage stem flea beetle control. And we're going to talk about this through the podcast today. So Claire, welcome to our podcast. Really delighted to have you here joining us today. I wondered if you'd like to introduce yourself a bit and a bit about your background.
Hi Theresa. So about my background, I come from France, where I did a bachelor degree in biology. After that, I did a master's degree in plant production management. It's during this master that I had classes on entomology and insect pest control, and I found it very interesting. So that's a bit why I decided to find a PhD on this subject after I graduated.
How interesting. Did you have much experience of oilseed rape over in France or flea beetle?
Well, I had never heard of that. I come from the south of France and there's not much oilseed rape in this part, so most of my classes were on fruit trees. So I really learned all about oilseed rape and cabbage stem flea beetle when I got interested in this project, so that was very nice to discover something new.
So how did you end up coming to Harper?
I was searching for a PhD project on insect pest control and I stumbled upon this project. I have never heard of Harper Adams before, but it was more about the project than about the university. So I decided to apply and I got lucky.
And we're lucky to have you working on this topic in our area as well. So do you want to introduce what your topic and your title is?
So I'm focusing on the use of biopesticides to control the cabbage stem flea beetle in oilseed rape. The biopesticides includes pest control agents that are biologically based and manufactured from living microorganisms or natural products. So what I've been trying are entomopathogens such as entomopathogenic fungi, nematodes and bacteria, and also some natural products such as botanical insecticides. I've been trying azadirachtin, which is an insecticidal molecule extracted from a tree called neem. And I've also tested some biopesticides that are authorized in other crops and other insect pests, such as Flipper from Bayer, which is a fatty acids product. So yeah, mostly this kind of stuff.
So it's amazing, Claire. We've got so much to talk about because this is so new in many ways to our sector with what we're doing. But biopesticides are quite widely used in horticulture and other sectors, aren't they? So just before we go any further, I know so AHDB are funding 50% of your PhD, aren't they? Do you want to just explain about the other funders that are involved as well?
The other funders are Certis, which is a company. This one is industry. Provides me with different products, entomopathogens and physically acting products. And I'm also funded by the Agri-Food Charities Partnership, with which I actually have a conference in June, hopefully to talk about my project. So I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, organizing an oilseed rape forum with plenty of projects about oilseed rape.
That'd be one to keep an eye out of. Yeah, definitely. Really good to have everybody coming together. There's so much collaboration in this area, isn't there, across the industry?
Yeah.
So I know, Claire, because this is so new to flea beetle in oilseed rape, that you started your work and you've done a literature review on biopesticides and whether we can learn any lessons from other countries or work on flea beetle. I wonder if you talk us through what you found so far and what there exists, or I think more what doesn't exist around the world in what you're looking at. What have you found so far?
There are several studies on cabbage-stem flea beetle and biopesticides, but not many. Studies that are detailed and that we can find on the internet with the methods and the results and everything. I found a few with entomopathogenic fungi, but they're a bit old. They are more than 20 years old and are only lab-based, nothing in the field. And I also found some field studies with entomopathogenic nematodes, but they are only briefly mentioned in review papers, so there's not a lot of information about the methods or how they did it. And most of the full studies that I found are targeting related species of flea beetle, which are the crucifer flea beetle and the striped flea beetle, which are important pests mostly in North America and Scandinavian countries, and also in China, I think. I found some Chinese studies, and they are mostly pests of spring orchid rape, while cabbage-stem flea beetle is a pest of the winter orchid rape. But they are closely related species. They only differ at the genus level. They are still flea beetles, so very, very similar. And they have a kind of similar life cycle, and they have the same effects on the crop, especially for the adults. So I think it's reasonable to extrapolate the results studies got for these beetles and hope that they are applicable on cabbage-stem flea beetle. So I found a few on these pests with entomopathogenic fungi, entomopathogenic nematodes, some on azadirachtin as well, and quite a few field studies, which is quite nice because for now I've only done lab studies. And it's nice to have something to base my future field studies on.
It's really interesting, particularly those similar kind of climates in the USA and Finland. What kind of things have they found with the fungi? How are they working in those countries?
For the fungi, I didn't find much. In the USA, I had some results about fungi. Not really in Finland. Finland, it was mostly nematodes, but unfortunately it was not detailed studies. It was mostly mentioned in reviews. So, they just mentioned the percentage of mortality, which is quite high, but I don't have anything else, so it's a bit difficult. But in North America, I got some nice results from studies with fungi and nematodes, especially with fungi. They work particularly well, but it was mostly when they were coupled with protectants, because biopesticides based on entomopathogens, since they are living organisms, when they are applied in the field and they are exposed to the environment, so the sun with UV radiation, the temperature, humidity, so it's a lot of factors that are a bit detrimental to these biopesticides, but if they are applied correctly, they are usually able to have an effect, and these studies proved that it could work as well.
There's not really much work out there, you know, internationally or recent work in this area, so you really are forging new ground with the work that you're doing. So should we talk through what you've kind of found so far? And I know there's four kind of key areas that you've been working on, and maybe we talk through each one and what you found and what's found interesting. I know our farmers and advisors and the audience will be really interested to hear about these different areas. So maybe if we take each one, and maybe you can explain how they'd work on the flea beetle and what you found so far. So should we start with nematodes, Claire, and what you found with them?
Yeah, for nematodes, so they work by entering the cabbage-stem flea beetle's body, usually by natural opening, and then they would release a bacteria with which they live symbiotically. That will then kill the beetle, and then the nematodes will feed on the beetle and then multiply, and that's how they kill the beetle. I've had quite good results in the lab with them, especially with two species, Steinonema feltiae and Heterorhabditis bacteriophora. I had more than 70% mortality in the lab after a few days, so that's quite good. I'm really looking forward to testing them in the field.
So how would you apply the nematodes in the field, and what kind of time of year and things?
They are applied through the same equipment as other pesticides, which is quite nice. We just have to mix them in water at the correct dose and then apply them by spraying. I'm hoping to do that in September, to time it at the same time when the new adult beetles migrate to the field to feed and lay eggs, so that I can target them at their highest peak when they are very active. And I'm hoping to be able to spray in the evenings, since nematodes are quite sensitive to UV radiation and humidity. I think the evening should be the best time to apply them. I also, because the beetles are nocturnal, they feed mostly at night, so it should be the perfect moment. Hopefully I'll have nice results. I'm quite excited about this.
Yeah, it's so interesting. I mean, how many days would they last once you've applied them? Do you know things like that yet or not yet?
It depends highly on the humidity. Like if we have a very dry September, it might they might just last 24 hours, maybe a bit more. That's why I'm playing them at night, so that they can last longer. But I'm planning to apply them several times. I'm planning to have at least 4 applications every 7 days. That's what I've been advised by the manufacturer of the products. So yeah, I'm going to apply them several times anyway. But yeah, it's also going to depend on the climate at the time. So fingers crossed.
And are they affected by temperature as well, or mainly humidity?
Yeah, temperature, humidity. It's, yeah, living organisms, a bit difficult when it's in the open field instead of protected crop. So that's why, yeah, we have to like maximize their effect by applying them at the correct moment. But then we can't really control the weather. So
no.
Yeah.
So if a farmer's been able to get their crop up and established and then waiting for the second migration of the main adults, that's what we're kind of looking to target, isn't it? And if you know, it's amazing that you found 70% mortality in the lab. And, you know, if we could get that, then that would get the crop going in a way. Do you think it would have an effect on larvae number in the spring as well?
Well, if we manage to kill enough adults, hopefully, yeah, they won't have... There will be less eggs, so hopefully less larvae in the spring, yeah.
So it would have an effect on both the adults and then the larvae later in the year.
Yeah, that's why we want to target them when they just migrated, so that a lot of them, and they just start to lay eggs, so hopefully we can just intervene at that moment to relieve a bit the larvae pressure in the spring.
And will you be doing, when you're doing your applications, will you be monitoring kind of numbers of adults, and will you be taking your plots through to yield and things as well, or how will you set up?
Yeah, we're going to monitor, because we're going to observe to see if it works, planning to observe the leaf damage. So there will be an assessment prior the application on the pesticides, and then once we have applied the pesticides, trying to see the evolution of leaf damage compared to a control where nothing has been applied, and see if there's less damage in the fields that have been treated. And we are also going to try to see how long the nematodes last on the leaf. I'm planning to have a different plot with focusing only on this. That will allow us to see how long, if they last a day or maybe two. I need to do that for all the pesticide that I'm going to try.
No, it's really interesting. There's so much to learn, isn't there? You know, how do they work? How long do they last? How many do you need? You know, and I imagine that will be different for different situations. But yeah, the start of something, if it's as promising as it is in the field as in the lab, it could be really helpful for us.
Yeah.
So that's the first one. So then your next one is this plant-based molecule, your azadirachtin. Do you want to talk a bit about that as well?
Well, this one, I didn't have a high mortality in the lab. It was not significantly different from the control. But there is a study in the USA that they tested azadirachtin coupled with entomopathogens, and they had a significant result. It sounded like azadirachtin enhanced the effect of the entomopathogen. So I'm going to try and test it combined with a fungi. So I will have a treatment with the fungi alone and then a treatment with the fungi plus azadirachtin to see if there's a difference or not.
And is this something that's widely used in horticulture? What kind of crops is it used in at the moment?
I think, yeah, it's mostly horticulture and it's quite varied.
Talk us about the fungi then, because that's really interesting as well.
For the fungi, I did a preliminary bioassay in the lab against adult beetles with different isolates of Metarhizium anisopliae, Borrelia bastiana and Isaia fumosa rosea. A few months ago, we had some contamination trouble in my bioassay chambers, and the control group did not fare very well. So there's nothing conclusive that I could draw from this, but I'm planning to test them again this summer when I've collected more beetles. Because at the moment, I don't have enough beetles in the lab because I've had some parasitoid wasp problem. But as soon as I have more beetles, I'm planning to test them for good. Because yeah, I'd like to test them in the lab first and then in the field if it's efficient in the lab first.
So how would the fungi work? How would that be applied and how would that work with the flea beetle?
So the fungi, they're applied by dissolving the spores in water, and then they're applied by spraying. And the spores will then germinate. It's a contact pesticide, so the spore will germinate on the beetle's cuticle, and then by pressure and by producing toxin, they will break into the insect and then sporulate and then grow into the insect, and that's how it's killed. Usually after a few days, you can see the fungi developing on the beetle. So it's quite impressive. And something that is nice is that the cadavers can then contaminate other beetles, so it can, in a way, perpetuate over time.
So how long would it take from the fungi first kind of landing on the beetle to actually killing it?
Just a few days. It depends also, of course, since it's a living organism, same as nematodes, it's going to depend on temperature and humidity. So, yeah, I'm going to apply them in the evening as well, because, yeah, the higher the humidity, the better it is for them to sporulate.
These flea beetles are not going to know what's going to hit them in September, are they, in your child?
Yeah, hopefully.
So you've got kind of fungi hitting your flea beetle, you've got nematodes hitting your flea beetle, and then do you want to talk about the last one, the Flipper kind of product as well?
So Flipper is a fatty acids-based product that is authorised in horticultural crops already. And we decided to try it because why not? And it worked very, very well in the lab. It killed, after just 24 hours, it had killed 85% of my beetles. So that's very nice. That's a very good result. So I'm really looking forward to trying it in the field. Especially this one is not a living organism, so it's less sensitive to the environment. So hopefully it will work very well. I'm really, really looking forward to trying this one.
Sounds amazing. So talk to us about what that is and how that one works as well, Claire.
So this one is attacking the cuticle. It's some kind of soap, so it attacks the lipids contained into the insect's cuticle, so it just degrades the body of the beetle. Actually, it's a contact pesticide as well. It needs to be applied directly on the beetle.
Sounds quite vicious for it, you know. Has those amazing results really quickly, then actually that could be a real promising sign as well. So September sounds like it's going to be busy for you, Claire. You've got these kind of applications, and then you'll monitor them over the months afterwards. If we've got farmers out there now that are just about to kind of put their oilseed rape in, you know, after harvest and get it in and get it up and away, hopefully into moisture, What can they be thinking about from the work that you're doing? What can we be thinking about now?
From now, I think we still need to wait for the field results, because the lab is very controlled and sterile environment. So I don't think we can really extrapolate the lab results in the fields without trying first. There's also the cost that it needs to be considered. I've planned for my PhD to look at the cost effectiveness and if it's going to be affordable for farmers. This is included in my project, so I'm definitely going to look into this. And I'm also convinced that just one solution won't be enough, and it's more going to be a combination of solutions paired with what other researchers are doing in different fields against flea beetle. as a integrated pest management program. That would be the best, I think.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, we'll all follow your studies with real interest. And it's great you're working on it now, and we've got solutions, hopefully, that are kind of coming through. We can kind of continue with some of the work that we know is being effective now. And maybe these are things that might make that a bit more straightforward in the future. You're really on the leading edge of research here, Claire. And yeah, we can't wait to hear what happens in September and going forward. Like you just said, your project's kind of a part of quite a few others that are going on in the industry at the moment. Maybe we just have a quick chat through some of the other things that are happening. There's certainly the ADAS. There's a big piece of work by ADAS, isn't there, that's AHDB funded. Do you want to talk about that one?
Yeah, I know that it started very recently. I think it was last summer, for 3 years. Yeah, I know that they are trying to understand the biology of the cabbage stem flea beetle, and they also seem to be focusing on mitigating the impact of the cabbage stem flea beetle with cultural control. I know that they've looked at companion crop, different amendments, management of stubble as well, if it needs to be left long or short. Crops as well. I think they also look at natural enemies conservation in the field. So it's less focused on applying biopesticide, but more in trying to mitigate the pest by changing the environment. So it's quite a different method, but I think it could be complemented with biopesticides quite well if we find the best one. Hopefully I will.
I'm believing you, Claire, definitely. And I think, like you say, it'll be really good if that project can find out more about the biology and about, you know, what factors influence adult migration. And then you can kind of say, OK, if we know that, then, and this biopesticide works, then actually this is the time to do it. And so, like you say, the kind of two projects run alongside each other. Similarly, the NIAR project is looking at kind of on-farm trials and looking at what farmers are finding in terms of cultural controls and using that network of knowledge. So there's a lot of kind of what we've got going on out there that's working, that's adding in, and then more kind of fundamental research like you're doing as to what the future might hold. Alongside that, there's the work that John Innes Centre are doing on parasitoids, aren't they? And that's kind of coming together, isn't it, with the work they're doing out there?
Yeah, they've published a paper last year about Microctonus brassicae, which is a parasitoid wasp. And I know that they had encouraging results in the lab, but the problem with natural enemies, they were wondering if the best way to use it in the field would be to apply it directly in the field with the risk of it just escaping because it's not a closed environment, or if the best approach would be conservation biocontrol, just by trying to preserve the wasps that are already present. So it's a bit of a question apparently at the moment for this one.
Yeah, it's fascinating, isn't it, to find something that works and works really well, but then actually how you apply that in a practical arable sense is mm-hmm. is the next challenge, isn't it? And
yeah,
yeah, so it's good that we've got so far, and then it's like, right, where do we go now to make it work, you know, for us and our farmers in the field. And then there's a bit more work going on at Rothamsted and CHAP, isn't there? They're both doing work on flea beetle as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know that there's a PhD project at Rothamsted that focuses on the ecology, this time, of the cabbage stem flea beetle, and trying to understand the response of the beetle and its natural enemy to the management of the crop. So, as well, it's not focusing on what we apply to the crop, but how they respond to management. So I think it's also very interesting. And the CHAP project this time is focusing as well on a biopesticide based on an isolate of fungi, which is quite similar to mine.
So they're kind of working on the fungi specifically, aren't they,
yeah,
as well? So,
yeah. Focusing on one fungi in particular, and apparently they had good results against larvae and adults. Mm-hmm. I attended the workshop they did a few months ago, and yeah, very interesting results. It's very exciting.
When will you'll be able to share your analysis this year, and then you've got another year potentially, mm-hmm. have you, to look at,
yeah.
what's your timelines for your PhD?
I should be finishing my PhD in November 2022, so hopefully, yeah. I'll be able to do a field trial this September and then more next year. I got an extension because of COVID, so I should be able to complete more work. I'm quite excited.
Well, we are too, and best of luck with what happens in September. We'll all be keeping a keen eye on it and looking forward to the future where we might be using biopesticides on our oilseed rape to manage cabbage stem flea beetle. What's your Twitter handle so that farmers and researchers and advisors out there, agronomists, can share what you're doing?
So my Twitter handle, it's at @CSFB_HOA for my name.
Brilliant, because I know you're going to share what you're finding, and there's some great videos and things of what you've done on there already, and that would be a good way to stay in touch. Thanks, Claire. It's been absolutely fascinating to talk to you. Something I, you know very little about, and you really are on the pioneering edge for us as an industry. So thank you for what you're doing, and we look forward to seeing your findings and what happens over the autumns of the next couple of years. So if you'd like to find out a bit more about the work on some of the other projects, we're running a webinar on the 7th of July. And you can hear a bit more about what's going on in the ADAS projects and the cabbage stem flea beetle and biology. We've also got all of our work on cabbage stem flea beetle, the information that's there at the moment, the integrated pest management work, on our website, which you can find by Googling AHDB CSFB or at ahdb.org.uk/CSFB. That's all from us. I'm Teresa Meadows, and Claire's been joining us, and you've been listening to our AHDB Cereals and Oilseeds podcast. Tune in again in a month's time, or listen to updates from our wider team through the AHDB podcast channel. Visit our website for more information, follow us on Twitter, and stay involved. Best of luck for a happy harvest.